So if you'd like to turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 30, and you'll find there the parable of the mustard seed. So Jesus is speaking and he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. I wonder if you've ever had experiences where the end result of something that you were doing was, let's just say, it was a bit of a letdown. I don't know, perhaps you bought something on the internet. It seemed marvellous. It seemed wonderful, but actually when it arrived and you opened the box and you saw what you bought, you feel like you've been had. It didn't live up to your expectations. Perhaps it was much smaller than something you thought you'd ordered. A real letdown. Or perhaps you went to a party and you were really excited. It was a wonderful thing. You thought it would be a great time and you came away feeling, well, that really wasn't what I was hoping for. You've paid for a day trip. You've gone somewhere for the day and you've paid to go in somewhere. I don't know, a zoo or something. And you came out and you thought, well, really, that wasn't really worth the money. Well, today's parable sort of turns that whole thing on its head. It was something wonderful. I mean, the shock of the parable is not how bad something is, but how good something is. Something that exceeded your expectations. Something that you bought that when it arrived, you thought, wow, that's brilliant. Or a book that you started and perhaps someone had lent it to you and you weren't really expecting very much from it. But as you got into the book, you thought, and by the end, you were just really excited by this book and perhaps wanted to buy the next one. Something that turns out to be much better and much bigger or much higher quality than you at first thought. And this is sort of an overview of the parable. The kingdom of God starts small. It seems unimpressive. It looks like nothing special. But the kingdom of God is growing. And one day it will prove to be a place for all to find refuge in it. It seems small and unimpressive, but it's becoming a place of refuge for all who will come into it. And just as we come to think about it a little bit more, remember that a parable is, someone said, and I've put it on our website, I've got like a little banner for this series, parables, truth hidden in plain sight. You remember the parable of the sower? And Jesus in the middle of it explained parables and he said, "Look, I'm really speaking so that those that will hear and those that won't hear, won't hear." That there's something that's so simple and plain and yet some people the penny seems to drop and for others it goes straight in one ear and out of the other. And so the call of a parable is for us to listen to it and to do something about it. This is a parable of the kingdom. Often parables start like this. There's many parables like this that say, "With what can I compare the kingdom of God?" he says, verse 30. Or it says something like, "The kingdom of God is like," and then continues in the parable. Of course, the kingdom of God is the place where God's rule is accepted, where Jesus is honoured as king. It's not a place with a physical boundary, like a united kingdom. It's a kingdom where God is honoured So all over the world, where people trust in the Lord Jesus and acknowledge him as king, are part of God's kingdom. It's interesting, this parable doesn't have any explanation either. The previous ones we've looked at have had explanations. Jesus has explained what they meant. But on this occasion, we read at the end of the verses, in verse 34, that privately he spoke to his own disciples and explained everything, but none of that's recorded for us. So we have a parable here without a clear explanation, so we need to do some thinking. So we have a few minutes together to think about this parable. A kingdom that starts very small, it's likened to a tiny little seed, but a kingdom that is growing, a kingdom that will prove to be a place of refuge for all who come into it. And as always, where we're heading with this, as in every sermon that I preach, is the sort of so what question. How do we apply it to us? What does that mean to us? But let's begin to think about this parable. It's a very simple parable. A small seed planted that becomes a big shrub or a big tree. A mustard seed. So the first thing I want to say is that the seed seems unimpressive. The seed seems unimpressive. You see, the parable is shocking. It's shocking in a way that probably we don't see immediately. It's not completely obvious to us that this is a shocking parable. But what we've got to remember is that the original hearers, as they heard Jesus speak of the kingdom of God, had an idea in their minds of what they thought that would be like. They'd heard of the Messiah that was going to come. And their understanding of the Messiah was that he was going to come like a warrior king. They were reminded that he was of the line of David. And so in their minds, David was a warrior. He was the king of Israel. And so they saw in their mind's eye, when there was speak about a kingdom, the kingdom of God, that this great Messiah was going to come and he was going to rule and reign with great might. He would be a warrior, that he would come with a bang. They expected this new kingdom to be established immediately. It would be something like the kingdom that David ruled, or better. And the shock is that Jesus says that the kingdom is like a tiny little seed. In fact, the smallest seed. Think about it. It's true, isn't it? Jesus came. How did he come? He came not in a palace, but he was born in a stable. We know very little about his childhood. Even those circumstances surrounding his birth, where the announcement of his birth by angels was made to shepherds, people that were sort of lowly and disregarded at the time. He became a carpenter, an ordinary working man following his father's footsteps. This wasn't a great warrior. Jesus didn't come with a great battle cry, but when he started his ministry, he called people to repent. Jesus didn't spend all his time in Jerusalem with all the religious leaders and the civil leaders. No, he spent a lot of time up north, amongst the rough folk up north. I'd rather be nowhere else than up north, honest. He had no official religious position. He had no civil position. He had no palace to live in. Can you see that the kingdom of God started and it seemed like a tiny, little, unimpressive seed? Think of the disciples that he chose to follow him. Were they important people? Were they impressive people? Certainly not. We don't know much about where all of them came from, but we know at least four of them were fishermen. Just ordinary men that worked with their hands. One of them was a tax collector, Levi or Matthew. He was an outcast as far as the Jews were concerned. There was a zealot. There was at least one thief, Judas. They were slow to understand. Jesus at one time even said to them, "Are you so dull? Consider them before we get to Pentecost." In Acts chapter 2, we find them. Jesus died. They've had some experience of him afterwards, and still they find themselves locked in a room because they're scared. These are terrified men. Their master's been killed. They're worried that they're going to be killed. They're worried that they're going to come after them. And so they're in a room and they've locked the door. They're terrified. Just 11 of them. This tiny little seed, this kingdom of God. Just 11 apostles. Judas by now has died and there's just 11 of them left. And they're told in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 by Jesus that they're going to take this gospel, this message, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Starting with just this little motley crew of 11. So Jesus seemed weak, didn't seem what they were expecting as a king. The disciples, the apostles, seemed weak. The message that they came with seemed weak. Telling people, foolish even, telling people that they needed to repent and turn from their sin. Telling people to believe in this special death of the Lord Jesus, that it would atone for their sins and bring forgiveness. How many people thought that was a foolish message? Despised the message, mocked the message as they went and took it out later on. They were calling people to believe that this Jesus, who didn't just die on the cross, also rose from the dead. Well, who's ever heard of that? Someone rising from the dead. This message seems foolishness. It seems tiny. It seems unimpressive. And with the message comes the promise that if you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be trouble. To add to this, what seems a crazy message, they're then saying, well, if you follow this message, it's going to be difficult. You're going to find that there's going to be persecution. You're going to find that there's a cost in following Jesus. Well, really and truly, you can understand Jesus therefore saying that the kingdom of God was like a tiny little mustard seed. It just seemed nothing. It seems unimpressive. In comparison with what the Jews were expecting, Jesus was unimpressive, disciples were unimpressive, and the message was unimpressive. That's the picture of the mustard seed, this tiny little seed that seems silly. And you know, today it's exactly the same. There might even be people listening to this message saying, that's foolishness. They might be saying, well, that seems ridiculous. You're speaking of something of the Dark Ages. What a foolish thing. It's the same Jesus that we proclaim. Just ordinary people. Telling people about this message. The church might seem weak. You might look at the church and think, well, what a tiny thing that is in this world. How can you really have the truth? Look at you, it seems small and it seems foolish. It seems unimpressive. And so Jesus starts his little parable by reminding us that the kingdom appears really unimpressive. But the kingdom grows. The seed is planted and it grows, and the growth is unfathomable. So we said the seed was unimpressive, but the growth is unfathomable. There's something quite remarkable about what happens when you put a seed in the ground. I don't know about you, but I don't know if it's just a childish thing in me, but there's something quite amazing that we put this little thing that seems dead, a little like wrinkled little seed or a tiny little seed, and we put it in the ground and we put some water on it and we watch, and we see growth. I wonder, children, you're listening, I wonder if you've done that. I wonder if you've got a seed and put it in a pot and put it on the windowsill, or perhaps you've planted something outside and you've watched it grow. Perhaps you've even put a sunflower seed in a pot and you've watched it grow, and from this tiny little seed, you've, you know, only a few weeks and the thing's standing much taller than you. Seeds often look totally unremarkable, don't they? Sat in a dry packet for months or years. But you put them in the right place at the right time with the right conditions, there's amazing transformation. From a tiny seed comes a shoot, and from the shoot grows a young plant which has stems and offshoots, and then before long it grows into a big shrub, even a small tree. And by the way, if you're wondering about this, about the mustard seed, and perhaps you're familiar with mustard herb, the sort of seeds that are ground and make Coleman's mustard. We're not talking about that sort of mustard. This is a mustard tree that grows in the Middle East and in parts of Africa. It reaches a height usually of something like 8 to 12 feet, but has been seen at 25 feet tall. So we're talking about a really big shrub. We could call it a tree, a small tree, that certainly birds could come and nest in. Unfathomable, a tiny little seed becomes this massive shrub upon which a bird could come and nest. And of course, 2,000 years after Jesus, scientists can explain much more about the growth of a plant than 2,000 years ago. But still, it's a basic mystery. Still, it's an astounding thing. It's an unfathomable thing to see life bursting forth. And you know, just remember, if you're thinking, well, is that really that amazing? There's not a single place that we know of elsewhere in the universe where this happens. But here, a tiny seed planted in the ground bursts forth with life. Think about how this reflects God's kingdom. How that it's grown from just a few people that followed Jesus, starting in Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then Samaria, and now the ends of the earth. What can explain this unfathomable growth but the Holy Spirit at work in the life of believers? Without God's Holy Spirit, there was 11 of them scared in a little room. But as they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to declare the works of God, even on the first day, 3,000 people trusted in the Lord Jesus and were baptized. And since then, the kingdom has continued to grow in an almost unfathomable way. Certainly from a human point of view, you would say it was unfathomable. Those early disciples, transformed by God's power, and took the message throughout the world. A tiny, weak-looking little seed has produced a global tree, the kingdom of God. And no doubt Christianity has had some ups and downs over history, but today the kingdom of God continues to grow. If you're doubting any of this, ask yourself, how is it that today you're hearing this message? How is it today that you have a Bible in your hands? How is it today that there are church buildings littered around this land? How is it that today you can hear someone explaining something of this message? What explanation is there except that the Holy Spirit is at work through his people? And this little seed is growing and growing and growing. It might seem unimpressive, but God is doing a mighty, mighty work. So here we are, 2,000 years later, thousands of miles from Jerusalem, in the rampantly secular West, as we call it. But the church is alive and kicking, and the kingdom of God is still growing. So lastly, the kingdom of God is unstoppable. starts off unimpressive. The growth is unfathomable, and the kingdom is unstoppable. This whole parable sets up a question in our minds. So where is this going? What is the end result? This seed that's growing, what does it become? We're told that the tiny seed produces a tree in which birds can make their home, a place of safety and refuge. Read verse 32. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade. Tree doesn't have estate agents, does it? Birds don't need to sign a contract to go and reside in a particular tree. The offer is open to all. The tree is plenty big enough. The shelter and the refuge that it offers is open and free to all. And friends, this parable, like all the others, brings us to a place of response. Will you come and find your refuge in this tree? Will you come and be part of this kingdom? Will you come and allow God to be your king? Scriptures tell us that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. The kingdom of God is strong and powerful, although it might seem initially to be unimpressive and weak. It's strong and it's powerful. The kingdom of God provides refuge and shelter to all who make their home there. There's no rental fee, there's no mortgage. It's a free gift of grace to all that will turn to Christ and trust in Him. You can come and take refuge in this kingdom. And the full glory of this kingdom, there's a strange thing about this kingdom, because Jesus said this kingdom was not here or there, but among them. This was God at work by His Spirit in people's hearts. This wasn't a place with boundaries. And the kingdom has been growing since then. But one day we will see the kingdom in all its fullness. And you can be part of that. There's a prophecy in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14 that says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There'll be a day where this kingdom is so clear to see, established in all its glory, following the return of our Lord Jesus to this earth. It's easy to overlook. It might seem very small and insignificant to you today. You might want to go around the rest of your business and think, just keep all this in the back of your mind. But my encouragement to you today is to stop and to respond to this call to be part of this kingdom. For the King is glorious. He is worthy of our praise. He is our only hope of salvation from our sins. He is our only hope of an eternity with God in the future. So I just want to urge you, if you've not ever come to Christ, if you've not ever come into this kingdom, just be invited today. The door stands open. There's nothing required to come and sit on those branches. You don't need an extra invitation. Just today you need to yield to God, to say sorry for your sins, to turn away from them, to trust in the Lord Jesus, acknowledge Him as your King and as your Lord, and you will experience all the blessings today and in the future of being in His kingdom. And to Christians, to those that are reading this as a believer, part of this kingdom, I'm sure there's days where you feel like those 11 scared apostles. Or there's days when you look at the message and you think it seems so simple and so weak. or you see the need of the world and this kingdom seems so small. God has filled us with his Holy Spirit for a purpose. He wants us to spread this message. He wants to empower us to live the kingdom life, that people might see a difference in us. He wants to empower us to speak kingdom words, that people might hear and know this gospel and turn to Christ. The Lord wants us to be kingdom builders as we encourage one another, disciple one another, encourage one another as we seek to follow Christ. And so, friends, here's the message. A little simple seed put into the ground. It seems so weak, and yet a mighty kingdom grows from it. And you can be part of that kingdom today. Let's pray together. And then we're going to sing.